Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call Tape number 301, The Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus commanded only one monument to his memory, the Lord's Supper. No other commemoration to the birth, life, death, resurrection, or ascension of our Lord is appointed by either command or example in the pages of the New Testament. Thus, the Lord's Supper is the only memorial service for the Lord in which Christians can engage with the full authority of the Word of God, the Bible. Since the beginning of the New Testament Church, shortly after Jesus' ascension, the Lord's Supper has been the central act of Christian worship. The early Christians met each Lord's Day, Sunday, to eat this memorial supper. Although this act of worship seems simple, so simple that it should seem to be wholly unable to honor the life and sacrifice of the Son of God, it is the most deep and the most sacred act in which Christians can engage. The eye sees that a prayer is offered in thanks for the bread. Small trays of bread, usually baked without leavening, are passed among the congregation. Each Christian prayerfully breaks off and eats a small portion while the others quietly wait. Similarly, prayers are said for the fruit of the vine, usually grape juice, but which could be natural wine, and trays containing many individual containers are passed, each Christian again partaking in turn. The eye, however, does not see the true communion between God and his children. Memories of Jesus' earthly ministry are brought to mind during the prayers of thanksgiving for the bread and while it is passed from person to person. The Christian remembers that his Lord descended from heaven into mortal body and was, just as are we, tempted of every sin, and yet Jesus never sinned. The Christian remembers the mockery and the unjust trial where his Lord was condemned to a cruel and painful death. He remembers how Christ Jesus died exactly as was foretold centuries before that time, and how his Lord came up from the grave, proving that death has no permanent claim on believers. In remembering the earthly ministry of the Lord, the Christian also thinks of the brotherhood of mankind joined together as the body of Christ, the Church, through all of the ages and across all of the continents. For Christians are, through their baptism into Christ, made into the one body of Christ. They are now the earthly presence of the Lord and the only means whereby the Lord's work on earth is accomplished. Study 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. During the prayers of thanksgiving for the fruit of the vine and while the trays of containers are being passed, the Christian remembers the central fact of his faith, the Lord's death, when Jesus' blood was shed as sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now the Christian remembers how, by faith, he was moved to obey the will of Jesus as revealed in the New Testament, to be buried in baptism to contact the blood of Christ, therein finding remission of his sins. The New Testament books by Matthew, Mark, and Luke carry the story of the origin of the Lord's Supper. The most detailed account is found in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Carefully distinguish between the fruit of the vine and its container. It is the fruit of the vine which is the New Testament in Jesus' blood. Thus, the fruit of the vine may be partaken from one or from many containers. In either way, it remains the cup of the New Testament in Jesus' blood. Hence, the Lord's people today may use individual containers rather than a single common container. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul taught early Christians about this observance. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 34 to outline the solemnity of the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Paul later continues these instructions in verses 33 and 34. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. But how often should Christians partake of the Lord's Supper? The answer to this question is afforded by a general study of the New Testament writings, which show that the early Christians habitually met together on the first day of the week for this purpose. Indeed, broad study of these writings will indicate that the Lord's Supper was the primary reason for their meetings. Note, for example, the wording and the structure of the following scripture, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. It seems that, although Paul's visit was a rare and a great treat for the Christians at Troas, their meeting was not especially to hear Paul, but to break bread, as was their usual custom. Thus, in following this and similar examples, the Lord's people today partake of the Lord's Supper the first day of each week.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.